You see people bring up toxic masculinity. And a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we want to teach young men how to mature in their faith. That's right, we are addressing Generation Z. And men, today, I want to talk to you about forgiveness. I mean, it is important for every young man to learn how to forgive others if you've truly been forgiven in Christ. And so I want to tell you about a Spanish story of a father and a son who would become estranged. They weren't talking, they had an argument, a falling out, and so they were completely estranged from each other. The son ran away, and the father set off to find him. He searched for months, but to no avail, wasn't able to find him anywhere. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find him, the father decided to put an ad in a Madrid newspaper. The ad read something like this: "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." Well, lo and behold, on that Saturday, 800 Pacos showed up, all looking for forgiveness from their fathers. Now, in one sense, that's a little bit funny that 800 guys showed up, but in another sense, it's really sad that there would be 800 young men in Madrid, Spain, who had all been broken up in any type of real relationship with their father and hoping to meet their father at that newspaper stand. What a difficult thing to talk about when we talk about forgiveness. And so today, I want to talk to you about that very topic. And I want us to realize today, young man, that you need forgiveness more than anything. I mean, we need to realize that our greatest need as human beings is to be forgiven. That's really what the message of the gospel is all about, right? That you, if you're in Christ today, have been forgiven of all of your sin. And yet all through this world, people are hurting and suffering from the sins of bitterness and anger, which often lead to the root sin of unforgiveness. And so I want to tell you this morning, you need forgiveness more than you need anything. I mean, if our greatest need had have been information, then God would have sent us an educator. Or if our greatest need had have been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had have been money, then God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had have been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was and is forgiveness. So thank God he sent us a savior. That's what he did. He knew what our greatest need was, and he sent someone to meet that need in the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, you need forgiveness like a child needs his or her mom or dad. Forgiveness, it's what we need. In fact, I did a wedding recently, and I told the groom, right as we were walking out on the stage for him to get married, "Hey, I've got one word to remind you of from all of our premarital counseling, from all of your preparation of marriage. Let me remind you of this one word. And if you can grasp this one word, you're going to have a great marriage that honors God." The groom looked at me with his eyes open wide, and he's like, "Adam, what's the word?" The music started playing as the wedding party was starting to go to the stage, and I looked at him and I said, "Forgiveness. Come on, let's go get married." And he follows me out to the stage to get married. I just wanted that young man, that groom, to be reminded that he can't make it in his marriage without understanding forgiveness. We need forgiveness more than we need anything. And as Christians, we're really the only ones who have a perfect model of whom to follow and who forgave perfectly. And this is the example, of course, of Jesus Christ. I mean, listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25, where it says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, He did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Now, I love that passage. I didn't read the last couple of verses, but it talks about how he gave his body for us on the tree, and that we, even though we've strayed like sheep, we need to return to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. But the point I'm trying to make is Jesus learned how to forgive. When he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. When he suffered, he uttered no threats. And then God calls us to walk in his footsteps, to follow his example. So let me ask you today, young man in Gen Z, how are you doing in your life when it comes to forgiveness? Are you freely forgiving others, even as you've been freely forgiven? And so today, I want to kick off a little series about forgiveness. And I want to talk to you today about three headings in dealing with forgiveness so that we can learn to forgive others based on the forgiveness that we have received from God. So three headings on forgiveness. Number one, a question about forgiveness. Now, I want to take this from the Book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 22, because here we see an incredible question that Peter poses to our Lord about forgiveness. And here's how the question goes. You probably remember this. Then Peter came up to him, that's Peter coming to Jesus, and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven." Well, let's talk about this here for just a minute. I mean, this is an incredible question, right? Peter is asking the question of questions. And the question that he's asking is, how many times should I forget? How often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Now, believe it or not, the going rate of the day, according to some Jewish rabbis, is that they were teaching that you only had to forgive up to three times. You say, well, how could they even come up with that? Well, in some places in the Old Testament, like in the book of Amos, God forgave Israel's enemies three times, but then on the fourth time, he pronounced judgment upon them. Like, listen to Amos chapter 1, verse 3. "Thus the Lord says, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment." So basically saying, for three transgressions, I will not punish you, but on the fourth, I'm not going to revoke the punishment. In other words, I will punish you on the fourth time. And Amos repeats that phrase over and over. So there are some, remember, unbelieving rabbis who taught that you only had to forgive up to three times. And so that's why Peter, when he asks his question to Christ, he says, how many times should I forgive him? As many as seven times? In other words, you can kind of hear Peter thinking, I'm going to take the going rate of the day, three. I'm going to double it. That's adding three more. I'm going to add one for good measure. And I'm going to come up with this perfect number. I mean, the number seven in the Bible is often associated with forgiveness. And so Peter might have even been expecting a little pat on the back from our Lord, where Jesus would have looked at him and said, wow, Peter, that's incredible. You would be willing to forgive up to seven times? Way to go, Peter. But that's not how Jesus answered the question. Jesus answered the question in verse 22. He said, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, there are different English translations that actually translate this number a little bit differently, like in the King James Version and in the New King James Version. And in the NASB, it says 70 times seven. That's how many times you're to forgive. Not seven times, but 70 times seven. Some ESV translations and the NIV translation actually says you should forgive 77 times. So the question is, well, which one is it? Is it 70 times seven, which equals 490, or is it simply just 77 times? Well, I'm here to tell you today that in translation, what's going on here is that the original language gives the number 70 right next to the number seven. And since there's no symbols about adding or multiplication, then the translator has to decide, am I going to multiply these two numbers together and multiply 70 times 7? Or am I simply going to add them together and say it's 70 plus 7? So is it 490, 70 times 7, or is it 70 plus 7, which is 77? And the answer is, doesn't matter, right? This is a figure of speech. This is what I call a divine hyperbole. This is what's going on. Jesus is simply teaching that forgiveness is not a matter of calculation, but it's the state of the heart. In other words, nowhere is Jesus teaching in this passage you actually need to keep a tally of how many times to forgive, whether that tally be 77 or whether that tally be 490. I mean, can you imagine Jesus saying, all right, keep a record of how many times 488, 489, 490. Okay, Peter, you're done. You finally reach 490. You never have to forgive again. Well, that's just simply not true. The lesson that Jesus is teaching is that you keep forgiving over and over and over again. He's taking perfection, 70 with a zero on the end, times perfection, 7, and he's saying that basically equals infinity. You're to keep forgiving others just as God has forgiven you. Now, don't go away because we're just getting in to our first point on what it means to forgive others as you've been forgiven in Christ. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment on this week's episode of Way of Manhood as he continues to talk about forgiveness. You know, the thing that we all want to receive, but we struggle to give. Maybe it's a coworker who threw you under the bus or a friend who ghosted you, whatever the case is. We find ourselves holding on to bitterness when we know better. We know we shouldn't do it. And here's what it's like. It's like taking a big swig of poison, but hoping the other person gets sick. It doesn't make sense. And here's the thing. It's not optional for us as Christians. Forgiveness isn't. It's central to the gospel. God didn't forgive us a little bit. He forgave everything. That's why Jesus says to forgive 70 times 7. It's not a math problem. It's a heart issue, a heart posture. And if this is striking a nerve today with you, let me recommend a very powerful resource that will help you walk through it even more intently. It's Bitterness, The Root That Pollutes by Dr. Lou Priolo. This little booklet identifies how bitterness takes root in our heart, and it equips you to remove it and helps you to respond biblically to hurts and trials you're going to face in life. It's short, it's practical, and it just might be the tool that you need to start to process forgiveness. And hey, also, don't forget about the Master's University. If you're looking for an education that's Christ-centered and equips you for life, TMU is the place to grow in both your faith and wisdom. Whether it's studying theology or business, you're going to find everything integrated with a biblical worldview. And speaking of integration, have you had an opportunity to check out Dr. John Kratz and Integrated? Oh, you are missing out if you haven't yet. You can find it at fortisplus.org. Check it out right now. Dr. Kratz teaches theology in a very deep way, but he does it in a way that you can understand. And also, he tells you how to live it out in your daily life. It's Integrated by Dr. John Kratz. If you would prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, it's your support that helps us continue to keep this show, Way of Manhood, on the air, but it also allows us to continue equipping Christians just like you to grow in your faith and lead with courage. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to learn more about what it would look like in your life to partner with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. All right, well, now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson as he continues to dive deeper into forgiveness and the freedom that it brings. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood. Today, we are talking about the topic of forgiveness. And we're talking about how you need forgiveness more than you need anything. And in this question that we're looking at out of Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, Peter asked the Lord, how many times will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Peter suggested as many as 7 times, But Jesus said, not seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, you're to keep forgiving over and over and over and over. And aren't you glad today that God never stops forgiving us? I mean, can you imagine if God somehow reached his quota and never forgave us again? That's not how it works, right? I mean, how many of you as young men today have sinned against God more than seven times? How many of you have sinned against God more than 77 times? How many of you have sinned against God more than 70 times 7, which is 490 times? I think we would all have to raise our hand and say we've sinned against God more times than we can count. And if that's true, and yet if we're in Christ, God still forgives us, then that's what Jesus is teaching Peter in this section of scripture, that Peter, you have to keep forgiving again and again and again and again. Now, be careful here. I'm not saying that we want to enable sin. Sin does need to be confronted and dealt with. There's no doubt about it. That could be done with church authorities. At times, it can be done with legal authorities and the government. But the heart of the matter is, no matter what's going on, you got to keep forgiving. You got to keep forgiving. So the first question, again, we're looking at three questions about forgiveness. And the first one is, how many times do I have to forgive? And that's forever. You just keep forgiving. And now the second question is, let's look at a parable. What about this parable on forgiveness? And Jesus then dips right into a familiar parable to teach us about the importance of this topic of forgiveness. And this starts in verse 23, where Jesus says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. So here Jesus is saying, hey, this is such an important topic, so important for you as a young man to understand the message that the Bible gives of forgiveness, that Jesus is saying, let me tell you a parable. And in this parable, the kingdom of heaven, which is oftentimes just basically the way of the kingdom, or believers who live as Christians in a context of relating to one another, the way of the kingdom, it can be compared. So Jesus wants to compare the Christian life with a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And listen to how this goes. You remember this parable, I'm sure, but in verses 24 through 27, it says, when he, that would be the king in the parable, began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm liking this parable already. I mean, here's a parable, a story. It is a story with a spiritual truth. And the truth that Jesus is teaching is, what is forgiveness? And you have a king. So this king has two slaves who owe him a certain amount of money. The first one owes him 10,000 talents. Now, one talent is 20 years of your annual job. So if this guy owes him 10,000 talents, 20 years, remember, is just one talent. So he owes him 10,000 talents. That would be 20 years times 10,000. And that equals 200,000 years of his annual salary. So what you're seeing here is, this is an astronomical debt. I mean, in today's currency, this would be about $8 billion. That's $8 billion with a B. Now, how much money do you have with you today? I mean, who has $8 billion, you know? Don't think about Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, or don't think about Tesla and the CEO of Tesla. Think about the fact that you don't have enough money to pay this off. There's no way that you would ever have the money of Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos to pay $8 billion. Like, normal people don't have that much money, right? So one question sometimes is given, well, how did he even get into this much debt? Well, keep in mind, this is a parable. So it's just a story with a spiritual truth. But some say probably this person embezzled money as he was taking in tax money over different provinces of the kingdom. And he had taken in way too much money over many years. So it gave it this grand total. But the point of the parable is simply this. The first slave or servant owes a debt he could never pay. He could never pay this back. I mean, can you imagine again? What if you got a second job? Would you be able to pay back $8 billion? Probably not, right? So the point is you could never pay it back. So what happens is that this first servant fell on his knees and he implored this person, please have patience with me and I will pay you everything. And we see the beauty here. And out of pity of him, the master of that servant released him and forgave the debt. I mean, can you imagine being forgiven of all your debt, all of your mortgage payment, all of your car loan, all of your school debt, every credit card payment you've ever owed on, it's all forgiven. This is an incredible story of forgiveness. And then, like so many of Jesus's parables do, this one has a twist. Right here, in the middle of this parable, all of a sudden it goes from that nice, warm feeling of being forgiven to a horrible circumstance that happens. Here's what happens, picking up in the next verse, verse 28 through verse 30. Let's read about the second servant here. It says here in verses 28 through 30, but when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused, and he went and put him into prison until he should pay the debt. All right, so what's going on here? Well, the first servant or slave was forgiven 10,000 talents. Now he goes out and he finds somebody who has now owes him some money. And how much money does the second servant owe the first servant? Well, the second servant owes him 100 denarii. So what is that scale in payment? Well, 1 denarii is 1 day's wage. And so 100 denarii would be 100 days of wages. So that would equal about a third of your annual salary. So just to put it into perspective, if somebody was making $60,000 a year, not a bad salary for a young man, then he would owe 100 days of that, which is, you know, there's 365 days in a year. So 100 out of that's about a third of it. He owes about $20,000. Is that a lot of money? Well, it is to me. And I think it is to most of you young men out there. Point being, this isn't just like a $5 expense. You know, if you were at Starbucks and you were my friend and you say, hey, Adam, I need $5. Scratch that. You need $7, right, to buy a latte today. I would say, sure, here you go. No problem. Don't even worry about paying me back. But if you came to me as my friend and said, I need $20,000, first of all, I would say, I don't have it. I don't have $20,000 just sitting around, right? Second of all, I would say, well, if we're going to lend you $20,000, we're signing papers. I'm going to have you sign papers right here, right now, because I'm not going to just trust that you're going to pay me $20,000 back. The point I'm trying to make is it's a pretty big debt, but it's a manageable debt. You could pay $20,000 back over time, right? Over time, it's a car loan. It's a school debt. It's a down payment for a house, maybe. You could pay back that $20,000 if you worked hard over the next 5 years. And so what we're seeing is this was a manageable debt, and yet the first servant would not forgive the second servant. And so do you know what happened? Verses 31 through 34 says, when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. And then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay his debt. Now, let me make sure you understand the parable. God is like the king. You and I are actually like the first servant. I remember hearing this parable as a kid, and somehow I thought I might line up better with the second servant who owed just a little bit, just 100 denarii. And yet after studying this parable, I realized that you and I are the first servant. We owe God a debt we could never pay. You could never pay God back. Your best works are like a filthy rag. If you've committed even just one sin, you're guilty of breaking it all. And yet God, in the person of Christ, has forgiven us. And God, if He has forgiven us, expects us to forgive others. When we come back next time, we're going to continue to look at this important topic of forgiveness.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.